This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad that we have tagged you as a listener for our little divertissement this far. Here's a song from Country Girl. This one is called The Search Is Through. It's really the theme song of the picture.
The flaxen hair, the tender voice, the laughing eyes gave me no choice, no more the doubt I used to face, no more the doubt, no more the chase. The search is through, you've got what it takes. There was no passing you by.
This being a democratic country, we, the people, are graced with the right to vote in choosing many things which affect our American way of life. Ever since the ink dried on the first of the 56 signatures of the Declaration of Independence, the public has voted for everything from presidents to peach crop queens. And in the preamble to our Constitution, it states that American citizens have the right to exercise any desired pursuit of happiness. So, according to a recent Gallup poll, this pursuit took off in fancy when Gallup's nationwide corps of vote gatherers queried the public with this question. If you had your choice of going anywhere you wanted on a vacation this winter, where would you most like to go? Now, most of us are vacation and travel-minded, and when someone like the Gallup people hand us a ballot asking us to make a choice as to where we'd like to spend the vacation, certainly doesn't take much pencil chewing to mark an X on our favorite spot on the map. Of course, in this instance, the time of the year had much to do with the results of the poll, since the time of going was limited to the winter months. Now, although man is a migratory animal, we are not of a fur-bearing species, and the voting showed that the people wanted to get a little closer to the sun every time the healing rays. In fact, it was almost a landslide in favor of the sun-kissed areas. Florida, California, Hawaii, Mexico, Bermuda, Arizona, South America, and the West Indies were in the first 10 vacation spots that Americans wished they could now visit. I might add that Yellowknife, Alaska didn't get a single vote. However, in fairness to other places where open-toed shoes are out of season and palm trees are something you only see on travel posters, prominent mention was given Sun Valley, Colorado, Michigan, and Idaho. Probably votes for these presently cooler areas were cast by hardy outdoor types who like to ski or fancy a bit of fishing through the ice. The urge to travel for pleasure is a dormant desire which can be awakened and activated without much effort and in many ways. Just the sound of a distant train whistle might do it, or the drone of an airplane motor. Or maybe just a quick, just a passing glance at a luggage display. That might activate our wanderlust. Or a few extra bucks in the till. Now, that'll do it. That'll really send you off a packing. Of course, now, according to the ads, you don't even need any money in the till to take a trip. All you got to do is make a small down payment and get lost. Fly. And for goodness sake, don't worry about what you owe. That'll spoil your trip. I suppose most of us think about getting away from it all long before our vacation time arrives. The gypsy in our soul is like the sap in a maple tree. It rises early. Of course, this footloose fever is helped along by the numerous travel agencies, the advertisements, the Chamber of Commerce literature, and the many bureaus who send enticing brochures to an eager, receptive public. And you can owe for it, too, like I said. Now, these teasers react on most of us to something like the colorful seed catalogs which are sent out through the mail. They come long before the frost is out of the ground, but the sight of the kaleidoscopic illustrations and the descriptive promises make people want to reach for a spade instead of a snow shovel. Well, the travel trade are using the same type of approach, propaganda. For instance, the other day I received through the mail a goodly sized packet which consisted of several booklets, maps, and other literature on various countries. It was escape material at its very best. Specific information and travel tips which regaled the reader while covering every aspect of these colorful places. And it made me want to reach for my hat. He got my passport. I lingered a bit longer, of course, with the booklet on France, refreshing my memory of the many nights, many days, and many things I saw and the delightful discoveries I had experienced in previous trips to this country. In this concise pamphlet was every phase of what the traveler to France should know. Tips on the weather and drinking water. Nothing about milk, however. Tipping, Turkish baths, medical care, customs, laundry service, and not too long, restaurants and food. Oh, la la, the French food. The good life, la bonne vie, as the French idiomize their feelings about their cookery. It's one of their great national assets in my book. Oh, it appears, I suppose, by the way I've veered in the direction of France, that my vote would be cast for this country if given a choice. Well, I must admit that Paris, the city of light, is a lodestar on my wishful navigating chart. Oh, well, there's always the freeway to Knott's Ferry Farm, or a trip to the Ferndale at Griffith Park, I guess. But now it's the music, huh? And I feel a French song coming on. On a beautiful morning in May, it's heaven on earth, you'll agree, just to meet Mademoiselle de Paris. She's got a style famous in town, even her smile goes with her gown. Bonjour, Mademoiselle, blonde and pretty, come to a bell. That means how sweet. She's so chic and adorable, no one thinks it's deplorable when men all turn around just to see Mademoiselle de Paris. You bet. Girls get a kick from her, learn each cute little trick from her. In their hearts they would all like to be Mademoiselle de Paris.
Mademoiselle de Paris. Light of heart, fancy free. She's the spirit of spring in Paris. And she's got clothes with a zing to them. She's got those curves and they cling to them. Sheer silk stockings and shoes number three. Mademoiselle de Paris. When she frowns, there's disdain in it. But her smile has champagne in it. She breaks their hearts and collects the debris. Mademoiselle de Paris. Oh, la la, oui, oui. So you better look out in Paris.
Here's a song that seems appropriate to sort of wrap up tonight's doings. I've always wondered why some of the new boys haven't revived it. You know, fellas like Cornell or Tony Bennett, Billy Eckstein, even the dreamy Napolitano, Dino Martini. Quite moody. Tomorrow night, huh? Same time, same place? Good night, then, and thank you very much.
Be sure to tune in again tomorrow night to Bing Crosby with Buddy Cole and his troupe, transcribed from Hollywood.
One of the wonderful things about CBS Radio is that you can listen while you work. Of course, there are limits to this. Riveters, arc welders, deep sea divers, and dunkermen presumably don't listen while they work. But in your car, in your office, or anywhere around the house, CBS Radio can come right along with you, bringing the best in music, drama, comedy, and news, making easy jobs fun and hard jobs lighter. Try it tomorrow. Tune in CBS Radio and listen while you work. You'll enjoy it. Lowell Thomas, Edward R. Murrow, and Robert Trout report nightly on the CBS Radio Network.
Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Music Hall.